We're going to use this time now to actually walk through these steps to freedom in Christ. Hopefully by this time, if you have participated in this conference, you know who you are in Christ, you know what our position is, we know of our authority and the power. So the type of things we're going to do here, we ought to be able to do with confidence. As we begin this time, I'd like you to join me in prayer. Father, thank you for your place in our life and our place in yours. For you are not only in us, we are in Christ. And that we have been raised up to be seated with Christ in the heavenlies, joint heirs with him. And all of that is because of what you have done for us. It's because of the work of Christ on the cross, without which we are nothing. But Father, thank you that we can call ourselves children of God. We want to declare our utter dependency upon you, for apart from Christ, we can do nothing. But you've also told us where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in our midst. And whatever is bound in earth is bound in heaven. Whatever is bound in earth is bound in heaven. And we just thank you for that. And then because of that dependency in Christ, because of the authority that has been given to Christ, of which we share now, in the name of Christ, we command the enemy and every evil spirit that is in or around this place, we command them to silence. They cannot interfere with this process. And we command them to release every person who can hear and see that they are free to do the things that God would enable them to do, to take these steps to freedom in Christ. And we say to Satan and all of his hosts to stay away from here. And we claim that, Father, through your presence and the Holy Spirit would put a protective sense of umbrella around every person that is here, that we desire to do the work of God. You told us whatever we ask in your name, and whatever we ask according to your will, you will hear of us. And so we pray all of these things with confidence, because this is the work of God, and we commit ourselves to it in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. The first thing we need to do is to take care of those things that we may have been wrongfully associated with in terms of the occult, cults, or other religions. Now, the question is often asked to me, wow, this is something I did in my childhood or a long time ago. I strongly suggest that what we're going to do here is as complete as it can possibly be. And so if it was something, well, that was a long time ago, let's take care of it anyhow. Let's not leave anything for chance. Typically, I can talk with a person and know which one of these seven is the major issue. I'll walk through all of them anyway, because I don't want to play a guessing game here with somebody's life. Let's make sure that what we do is as complete as we possibly can. If we're uncertain about our salvation, let's make our decision right now in Christ. Let's do that. But what I'm going to ask you to do then, if in your experience, in your past, if there is some involvement with the occult or cults or other religions, if somehow or another you paid attention to a deceiving spirit, then what I'd like you to do, just now between you and God, that's all is who it's between, is for you to confess that. You just simply say, Lord, I did go to that. I was there. My mother took me. Doesn't make any difference, but I was there. And I ask your forgiveness. And do that for each one of these items or any other items that you may have put on this page. So we're going to ask you to do that. We're going to spend a few minutes right now in prayer. And as we do this here, for those of you who may be listening by tape or those who are watching by video, I'd like you at this moment to shut off that machine and then start it again after the group has processed this. So let's go to prayer individually at this time. Now that we have shared with God our decision not to have any involvement with those things anymore, we're going to say together in your Finding Freedom in Christ portion here a statement that's been for some reason left out of the Western formula. If you go to any early church document, still in the Catholic Church, a lot of Eastern Orthodox, possibly Episcopal or Lutheran Church, some liturgical churches to this day, as declarations would be made, oftentimes there would be a look into the West and say, I renounce you, Satan, and all your works and all your ways. Then there would be a positive declaration as they would turn to the East. And I'd like us to say that together. Let's just say it publicly. Are we prepared to say that statement? Let's say it together. I renounce you, Satan, and all your works and all your ways. Now we're going to look at deception versus truth. I'd like you to go through this prayer with me And as we go through this, since I don't want anybody to say a prayer that they don't agree with, as we finish these sections, if you would read ahead to the next prayer, and if you don't agree with it, scratch it out. If you don't want to say this, I don't want to do something against your will. See, sometimes people say, well, I'll say it, but I don't believe it. And then I'll ask, well, what part don't you believe? And this is part of Satan's contesting this whole thing. Well, I guess I believe it all, but I don't feel that way. Well, what is going to be your basis now, what you feel or what you believe? And see, that's why I included Scripture here. But as we go through these prayers, I don't want us to read the Scripture here. That's just for you to validate, to understand where this is coming from biblically for your own experience later on. But what we express here is what you express. So this should be a prayer that you are praying before God. But we're going to do it verbally outside. I will do this individually as counseling as well as generally. Because remember, Satan's not under any obligation to be your thoughts. So we're going to take publicly our position here in Christ and state these things. So let's pray together this prayer on deception versus truth. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that you desire truth in the inner man, and that facing this truth is the way of liberation. I acknowledge the fact that I have been deceived by the father of lies, and that I have deceived myself. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you, Heavenly Father, would rebuke all deceiving spirits by virtue of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection, and by faith, having received you into my life and now seated with Christ in the heavenlies, I command all deceiving spirits to depart from me. I now ask the Holy Spirit to guide me into all truth and ask that you would search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, sometimes as we go through this with certain people, and you may be experiencing that right now, difficulty expressing that, I would still have you do it and keep doing that as we go through this. This is an expression now of my will. I'm choosing as I go through this. I'd like on our next page here, on personal affirmation, to read out loud something before we take a good look at our own personal lives and our belief before God. Would you share with me on this personal affirmation? Because the unconditional love and acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am free to accept truth and face reality. Since God is light and in him there is no darkness at all, I choose to walk in the light in order to have fellowship with him and other people. I understand that walking in the light is not emotional, mental, or volitional perfection on my part, but a willingness to be completely honest and in agreement with God concerning my present condition, trusting in Christ to be my only defense. I therefore choose to examine before God and in the presence of a trusted brother or sister in the faith the following ways that I may have wrongly deceived or defended myself. Now, we have spent a lot of time looking at this, and I'm not so concerned going over it again here. But I will sit down and help a person understand what their perception is of God and to see if I can help them to understand a true and biblical perspective of God as well as of themselves. And if there's deception here, I'd like to say primarily that deception is in relationship to their belief about God and themselves. And now this may take an extended period of time for some people. Or I may, as we already have through this conference, done a lot to already talk about this and make that adjustment. So I'm going to continue on. And on our next page here, there's a doctrinal affirmation. This is an express choice to choose to believe what God said is true here. Oftentimes, people who are in conflict like this will struggle terribly trying to read this. In personal counseling, I've had them go through and just stop at times and have to say it and read it again. But it's very common for them to begin to gain momentum as they go through it. I will also tell people that if I'm in the process of renewing my mind, that faith is a choice to believe God. regardless of how you feel. Again, you're not a hypocrite if you choose to believe truth against your feelings. In fact, the opposite is true. But as I choose to believe this, I will tell people for the next 2-3 weeks, I'd like for you to get up in the morning and just pick this up and read it out loud, because you're beginning at the beginning of each day now to tell yourself to mind, I'm going to choose truth. And so just expressing this may bring for some people some difficulties, but grind through it anyhow. Learn how to express your will, to choose this, to choose truth. So let's read together. It's rather lengthy here, but we're going to read rather slowly through this whole thing. Again, don't read the numbers here or what's in parentheses, but we'll read through this doctrinal affirmation. So join us together. I choose to present my body as an instrument of righteousness, a living and holy sacrifice, and renew my mind by the living word of God, in order that I may prove that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. I therefore make the following affirmation. I recognize by faith that the triune God is worthy of all honor, praise, and worship as the creator, sustainer, and the beginning and end of all things. I confess that God, as my creator, made me for himself. In this day, I therefore choose to live for him. I recognize by faith that God loved me and chose me in Jesus Christ before time began. I recognize by faith that God has proven his love to me in sending his Son to die in my place, and that I am alive in Christ and seated with him in the heavenlies and anointed with the Holy Spirit. I recognize by faith that God has accepted me since I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that he has forgiven me and adopted me into his family and given me eternal life. He has applied the perfect righteousness of Christ to me so that I am now justified. He made me complete in Christ and offers himself to me as my daily sufficiency through prayer and the decisions of faith. I recognize by faith that the Holy Spirit has baptized me into the body of Christ, sealed me, anointed me for life and service. He seeks to lead me into a deeper walk with Jesus Christ and to fill my life with himself. I recognize by faith that only God can deal with sin, and only God can produce holiness of life. I believe that in salvation, my part was only to receive him, and that he dealt with my sin and saved me. In order to live a holy life, I surrender to his will and receive him as my sanctification, trusting him to do whatever may be necessary in order that I may be enabled to live in purity, freedom, and power for his glory. Having confessed that God is worthy of all praise, that the Bible is the only authoritative standard, that only God can deal with sin and produce holiness of life, I recognize my total dependence upon him and I submit to him. I accept the truth that praying in faith is necessary for the realization of the will and grace of God in my daily life. Recognizing that faith is a choice to respond to God, by which the daily provisions the Lord has furnished in himself are appropriated, I therefore make the following decisions by faith. For this day, I make the decision of faith to surrender to the authority of God as he has revealed himself in the Bible and to obey him. I reject the self-life. I choose to walk in the light. For this day, I make the decision of faith to surrender to the authority of God as revealed in the Scripture and to believe in him. I accept only his word as final authority. I believe that as I have confessed my sin, he has forgiven and cleansed me. I accept at full value his word of promise to be my sufficiency and rest, and will conduct myself accordingly. For this day, I make the decision of faith to recognize that God has made every provision so that I may fulfill His will and calling. Therefore, I will not make any excuse for my sin and failure. I make the decision of faith to receive from God that provision which He has made for me. I renounce all self-effort to live the Christian life and to perform God's service in my own strength. I renounce all drawing back from the work of the Holy Spirit. I renounce all non-biblical motives, goals, and activities which serve sin's sinful pride. I now ask Jesus Christ to be my sanctification, particularly as my cleansing from the old nature, and ask the Holy Spirit to apply to me the work of Christ accomplished for me in the crucifixion. In cooperation with and dependence upon Him, I obey the command to put off the old man. I ask Jesus Christ to be my sanctification, particularly as my strength, moment by moment, to live above sin, and ask the Holy Spirit to apply to me the work of the resurrection, so that I may walk in newness of life. I confess that only God can deal with my sin, and only God can produce holiness and the fruit of the Spirit in my life. In cooperation and dependence upon Him, I obey the command to put on the new man. I ask Jesus Christ to be my deliverance from Satan, and I take my position with Him in the heavenlies, asking the Holy Spirit to apply to me the work of the ascension. In His name I submit myself to God and stand against all of Satan's influence and deception. In cooperation with and dependence upon God, I obey the command to resist the devil. I ask the Holy Spirit to empower me for every aspect of life and service for today. I open my life to Him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, for people who have a tremendous need to readjust their own belief system, I encourage them to make this a part of their daily walk for a period of time, to read this out loud. I have a lot of people say, if only I could believe that. You can believe it. It's a choice. It's a choice. Belief is a response to truth. Believing it does not make it true. It's true, therefore I believe it. The next area we want to look at is bitterness versus forgiveness. In my experience, at least amongst Christians, this is the biggest ground that gives Satan an opportunity to wreak havoc in our lives. We're going to say this prayer first, and then we're going to take a time to individually, before God, work this out. Now, as we do this, remember, we've talked about this through our series here, but forgiveness is a choice. It's a crisis of the will. If God told me to do something, I can do it. It's also an agreement that I am saying, I'm going to take this person off my hook. They're not off God. They're just off mine. I'm going to give up the independent right to resent, to seek revenge or repayment. I'm going to leave that person up to God. Now, they may have to be disciplined by the church or the courts or the law, but I'm releasing myself from that person. I'm not going to use that information against them anymore, and I'm not going to sit here with the sole satisfaction of hating the wretch. I'm going to get on with my life. I'm choosing then, in a substitutionary way, to live with the consequences of their sin against me. We'll have to do that anyway. But the point of it is that we're not going to do it in bitterness anymore. I'm going to trust that God eventually will work this out emotionally for me, but in forgiving from my heart, I'm going to be honest and I'm going to face the hurt and I'm going to face the hate. It may cause me to have to revisit in a very deep and serious way those embedded emotions in my life. But if we're going to forgive from my heart, it has to be complete. And so therefore, when we're done praying this, as I ask you to go to prayer before God, for your sake, not for my sake. You forgive somebody for your sake. And it's not between you and the other person. It's between you and God only. You don't go back to that person and share it. You may live before them this truth. You may need to forgive people who have been deceased for years, for instance. But I'll ask you before, in your prayer time, before God, that you be specific with God. What is it that you're choosing not to use against them in the future? What are you choosing to live with? So you say, God, I forgive. Don't pray in your own mind before God, help me, he will help you. Don't say I want to. Sure you do. It's a choice. It's an expression of the will. So I'll say, Lord, I forgive my father. And you tell him what you're forgiving him for. And if it takes a half a day, we'll wait a half a day. But God wants you free, and this is his path to do it. This is how we're released from the past, so that we can live our life in Christ from this day forward. So let's pray this prayer together. And what we're asking God to do here, really, is to bring back to our mind those people that whom we need to forgive. God knows. He knows the whole list. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the riches of your kindness, forbearance, and patience, knowing that your kindness has led me to repentance. I confess that I have not extended that same patience and kindness towards others who have offended me, but instead I have harbored bitterness and resentment. I pray that during this time of self-examination, that you would bring to mind only those people that I have not forgiven from my heart, in order that I may do so. I also pray that if I have offended others, that you would bring to my mind only those people whom I have need to seek forgiveness and to what extent I need to seek it. I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, we're only going to do here the first part. There may be a need to leave this time and to go make reconciliation with somebody else. But let me caution you again. The two most overlooked people whom you may need to forgive is God and yourself. So those who are listening right now by tape or watching by video, we're going to stop right now in a moment or so if you turn off that cassette, and we're going to spend whatever time we need then to make sure that this is something I have done as God has required of me, for we are to forgive as Christ has forgiven us before God. So let's spend these next few moments now in prayer. Now, as you can imagine, if we've done issue with this issue of forgiveness, that's one of the hardest things to process as a group. And sometimes it may require that an individual pastor or counselor sit down with somebody and help them work through this time of their life. And this is one of the greatest areas, if not the greatest area, that Satan uses against God's children in the church today. The next area is also a big one, the idea of rebellion versus submission. We live in a rebellious age today. We live at a time when everybody thinks it's their responsibility to sit in judgment of those who are in authority over them. You see it in your newspapers, you see it in business, you see it in our churches. But as we go to church, we don't sit in judgment of Scripture or the message. Scripture sits in judgment of us. And it seems to be the mood of the age today, that that's somehow or another a right that we have. But it really isn't. We are to come under authority. And whether it's our homes, our schools, our jobs, our government, or our business, there are several areas where Scripture requires this of us, so that it may be well with us. We pray for those in authority over us, that we may live a quiet life. And children, obey your parents in the Lord, so that it may be well with you. And so the whole thing, again, this is for our gain, to accomplish this. But let's pray this prayer, and if need be, if there's some area of your life that you need to get right with God, we'll give you an opportunity right after we pray the prayer. Shall we together? Dear Heavenly Father, you have said that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. And I know that in action and in attitude, I have sinned against you with a rebellious heart. I ask your forgiveness for my rebellion, and pray that by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all ground gained by evil spirits because of my rebelliousness would be canceled. I pray that you would shed light on all my ways, that I may know the full extent of my rebelliousness, so that I will choose to adopt a submissive spirit and a servant's heart. Amen. Now, there are five areas I believe Scripture delineates to us, that is civil government, parents, husband, employer, church leaders. And what we're going to do is stop here in a moment or so and ask God again to forgive us to where we have not been submissive to those who have been placed in authority over us, and indeed really to pray for them. So those who are listening again by tape or watching by video, we're going to stop at this point and we're going to pray, and when you're done as a person or as a group, then we'll begin and look at pride versus humility. We'll stop at this time. Being submissive to God's governing authority is basically declaring the fact that you trust that God will work through that. And we are in no way saying, and I don't believe Scripture is, that some people ought to remain in an abusive type situation. In those cases, we appeal to the authority of our state, which is there to protect battered children and wives, etc. But regardless of that, we're not talking about an escape clause here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It means not if your parents are in the Lord, but if you are. And so at times, God says, you will find favor, 1 Peter chapter 2, if you are suffer for righteousness' sake under that kind of a load. But there's a lot that we learn and grow about ourselves in these areas. So submissive is God's way. We're going to look at pride versus humility. And let's pray this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, you have said that pride goes before destruction and an arrogant spirit before stumbling. I confess that I have not denied myself, picked up my cross daily, and followed you. In so doing, I have given the enemy ground in my life. I have believed that I could be successful and live victoriously by my own strength and resources. I now confess that I have sinned against you by placing my will before you and by centering my life around self instead of you. I now renounce the self life, and by so doing, cancel all ground that the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ have gained in my members. I pray that you will guide me such that I will do nothing from selfishness and empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard others as more important than myself. Enable me through love to serve others, and in honor prefer others. I ask this in the name of Christ Jesus my Lord. Amen. Pride can be a major ground for Satan. In fact, in James chapter 4 and in 1 Peter chapter 5, where he talks about resisting the devil and standing firm, for the devil's roaring around like a hungry lion. Both sections are preceded by the fact that God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, before the almighty hand of God. If you have a choice in this lifetime, one's the way of pride, one's the way of humility, choose humility. Choose humility. Because that will bring the grace of God. Pride is a killer, and it kills so many of us of having the victory that we ought to have in Christ. It's a declaration of our dependence upon God.
This concludes the program material on this side of the tape. Please fast forward to the end and turn over for side two.
The next ground we want to remove here is those areas where we have not taken caution to protect ourselves in terms of moral issues. And so let's pray the first part of this prayer here, and then we'll spend again some time before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, you have told us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to lust. I acknowledge that I have given in to fleshly lusts which wage war against my soul. I thank you that in Christ my sins are forgiven. To transgress your holy law and given the enemy an opportunity to wage war in my members. I come before your presence to acknowledge these sins and to seek your cleansing, that I again may be freed from the bondage of sin. I now ask you to reveal to my mind the ways that I have transgressed your moral law and grieved the Holy Spirit. I will stop right in here for a moment or so. Again, let me suggest to you that if we were alone in private, it would be of value to fulfill what James chapter 5 says, to confess our sins one to another. If I was doing this privately, I'd ask this person for their sake to do that. I've had people just sob in prayer and pour out their life before me, almost forgetting that I was there, and then look up and feel sometimes ashamed. And what do you think of me now? I said, I can think nothing but great thoughts for you. You've been obedient to God, and you have taken God's step, and before God you're cleansed. And if there's no condemnation, how could I? I only think that what you did is a great thing, and I'm here to affirm that to you. This is God's way, and you've been obedient to God, and you've decided to make these choices. I don't think less of you. I think you're a child of God. So if you're listening again by tape or watching by video, we're going to take time right now. It's between you and God. The Bible says if you'll confess your sin, that's to agree with God. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We'll do that right now. Let's continue now by saying together this next paragraph that we have in our Steps to Freedom in Christ. Together. I now confess these sins to you and claim through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ my forgiveness and cleansing. And I cancel all ground that evil spirits have gained through my willful involvement in sin. I ask this in the wonderful name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let me share with you, if I may, one passage that we have in Scripture that talks about what happens if you're sick. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. There are times now when I've stopped and asked for people if there's any special need now that they may have for prayer. There are a lot of illnesses I feel we have in life because there's something wrong with this inner man. And so, if that may be a need in your life, this is the only instruction I know in the epistles given to us as to what to do. And you say, why should I confess my sin to another person? Well, it isn't that the other person really needs to hear it. It's that there's a sense then of immediate accountability, and that way it can assure you of the forgiveness of sins and somebody to help hold you accountable to continue to live a life that's righteous before God. Again, let me suggest something. That part of the hold that Satan has in here, we get trapped in a sin-confess cycle. All we've really done here is given the opportunity to confess a sin and then to resist. And I believe that that's been left off oftentimes in our experience. It's sin, confess, resist. If the dog comes up, you know the story, and glonks on your leg, don't just beat on it, on yourself, beat on the dog. And you can confess it and be right with God, and God forgives you, and the dog's still there. So we're going to say, get out of here. We close the gate. You have no right anymore to be in here. God has cleansed me, and I'm freed from that. And whenever sin now makes its appeal, you know scripturally, you know this now, that your relationship with sin is ended. It has no power over you, just like death has no power over you. So when it makes its appeal, you say, I have nothing to do with it. And you choose, and you take every thought captive. And so when temptation comes, you choose immediately. I'm not going to go down that path anymore. And you don't have to. The last one is to renounce now the sins of of our ancestors and any curses that may have been placed against us. Again, we have to realize that the church is under attack from the outside. And there have been literally at times curses placed against people. This can come in the most bizarre of ways that you can't expect. You could simply be targeted because some person wants to make his badge on the other side. And so it can be indiscriminate, can be purposeful. Again, I have to be aware of the fact that myself in this kind of ministry, and those of you who will be joining me, that you can expect some opposition in this area. But it's not something you have to take. And so let's take our position with Christ and stand against that. Let's pray again, this final prayer then. As a child of God, purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I here and now reject and disown all the sins of my ancestors. As one who has been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, I cancel out all demonic working that has passed on to me from my ancestors. As one who has been crucified with Jesus Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, I cancel every curse that may have been put upon me. I announce to Satan and all his forces that Christ became a curse for me when he died on the cross. As one who has been crucified and raised with Christ, and now sits with him in heavenly places, I reject any and every way in which Satan may claim ownership of me. I declare myself to be eternally and completely signed over and committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I now command every familiar spirit and every enemy of the Lord Jesus that is in or around me to go to the pit and to remain there until the day of judgment. I now ask you, Heavenly Father, to fill me with your Holy Spirit, and I submit my body as an instrument of righteousness, a living sacrifice, that I may glorify you in my body. All this I do in the name and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, together, I want you to do something. Just put your pencils down, your Bibles down, your books down. All you who may be listening or watching or here, I want you just quietly now to bow your head with me. Close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can. Is it quiet? You feel a peace. Father, we thank you. We invite you now to continue to guard our hearts and our minds, to give us a peace that passes all understanding. And I thank you for so many who are and have been set free. And we pray that, Father, we would assume from this day forward our responsibility to stay free, that we may live a life that truly is righteous, that the fruit of the Spirit would mark every step of our path. We commit ourselves to that end. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the repentance that you allow us to have, that you enable us to change and to make these moves towards you. And we pray, Father, for your strengthening and renewing of the inner man day by day. And we commit ourselves to be the kind of people that you've called us to be in order to do the things that you've called us to do. And, oh God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are. And we pray that, Father, that you would lead us every step of the way into all eternity when someday we shall see you face to face. And we shall know you, for we shall be like you, for we shall see you in such a way. What a hope. What a Savior. We thank you for these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you are present or you may be counseling those people, you need to recognize that those who have really experienced the new freedom, it is our responsibility to stay free. And you may seem as though in the next hour or day or so that something seems to be coming back. Just don't pay attention to it. Just get on with your life with God. It's not what you don't believe that counts. It's what you believe in this lifetime. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. This is the will of God for us. This is the place we're supposed to occupy. And it is our ministry to have that ministry in this world today. So I just want to say my prayers are with you and with everybody. God bless you. We're going to close with this.